Marriage and hope of salvation. That's the topic I've been assigned for this time together, reflecting Christ to an unsaved spouse. Important. Let me pray for us as we jump in. Father, we thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you for the meaning of marriage and that picture of Christ and the church that it reflects into an unbelieving world. We thank you for the glorious mystery that you've hidden in marriage from the beginning. And yet we recognize that there are many of your children who are married and joined to one who does not know you. And that brings with it special griefs, special pains, special joys, special trials, special need for wisdom from your word and from your spirit. And so we pray that you would equip us now in the ministry of your word. We pray that you would make us churches that love people well, that serve people well, that bear one another's burdens, but who especially hope in Christ, and that would hope in the power of the gospel. And so we pray that you would, Lord, show us your glory from your word and equip us well in the ministry of it. In Christ's name, amen. Well, throughout all of our churches and communities, there are believing men and women who are married to unbelieving spouses. In our church, we actually have three members who, they are married to unbelieving spouses, and they came into that kind of a marriage in different ways. One was actually came to faith in Christ while married already, and so is married to an unbelieving spouse because God has brought them to redemption. Others who just through immaturity, through lack of understanding, married an unbeliever, not quite grasping what that meant. And so, they're members of our church, though their spouses are not. And so that brings with it just a unique experience of marriage, a unique experience of the church. It includes many opportunities and challenges. And so just the likelihood at some point that you'll be called upon to minister to a spouse that's married to an unbeliever is probably pretty high. And certainly if we're being faithful with the gospel in our communities and neighborhoods, if we're really taking Christ crucified to the world and God is actually bearing fruit and redeeming souls, in redeeming married people, it's not always that he redeems couples as couples. You know, often it begins with one. And so even the idea that just faithful, fruitful evangelism will actually yield this kind of a unique situation in marriage is very likely. And in fact, that's what was happening. We'll look at a couple passages, one in 1 Peter, another in 1 Corinthians, where that's exactly what was going on in the first century and in the early church, where the gospel's going forth and people are being saved, but they're married and their spouses aren't being saved. And so Peter and Paul are actually going to address that in some of their letters to the churches. Yeah, I think there's two ditches that we want to avoid when we think about just marriage and hope of salvation. I think one pitfall is the pit of kind of hopeless resignation, where we just simply surrender to the reality of a miserable marriage. I think we want to avoid that when we think about marriage between a believer and unbeliever. I think we want to help believers who are married to unbelievers avoid that pitfall, to avoid that ditch of just hopeless resignation, that this we're just resigned to a miserable marriage. But I think the second ditch we want to avoid is what I call relentless verbal evangelistic fervor, where the thought is, okay, I'm a Christian married to an unchristian. Every single day, I have to relentlessly sort of proclaim and preach and verbalize the gospel to the spouse. That tends to push the unsaved spouse to either becoming a Christian or leaving the marriage because it's become miserable for them to be married to a Christian. And so as we'll talk about, there's just so much of it is faith in the power of God. Faith in the providence and in the timing of God. So what we're going to look at is, number one, just the honor of marriage. Number two, the reality of an unequally yoked marriage. And then finally, just reflecting Christ to an unsaved spouse. Just what are some of the the how-tos when we think about it. I want to begin with the honor of marriage because I think there's a temptation sometimes, especially in churches, when there's a believer married to an unbeliever, is to somehow look at that marriage as less than, or to pity the Christian who's in it, which I think is a big mistake. And so to realize that marriage is a gift of God to all people, whether Christians or not, that two Muslims that are married are enjoying a gift of God, two Buddhists that are married are enjoying a gift of God, to unbelievers that are married, they're enjoying something that God gives to all people. And it's good just for what it is. It's good because God created it. And interestingly, it does give a visible picture of the invisible relationship between Christ and the church, even among Muslims, even among unbelievers. There's still something hidden in it about the visible or the invisible relationship of Christ and his church. Now, whether or not they're going to be able to actually reflect that reality well or accurately is a completely different question. But I think to say that we still need to honor it rightly. We still need to receive it with thanksgiving as a gift from the Creator. And so here's a few reasons I like to start here. Number one, no matter who is married to whom, marriage is to be held in honor by all, Hebrews 13. No matter who's married to whom, marriage should be held in honor. And when a Christian is married to a non-Christian, that marriage is still real. It's still valuable. It's still good. It's still honor. Even if it was a believer sinfully marrying an unbeliever, and the act of marriage was actually an act of sin for that Christian. But even then, there can be repentance, there can be forgiveness, and there can be that marriage actually be seen as this is still a good thing. Number two, in counseling men and women married to an unbelieving spouse, I think we really need to try to avoid viewing this person with pity or regret or hopelessness. And so when we learn that this brother or sister in Christ is married to a non-Christian, there can be that temptation to go, oh, I'm so sorry. And I don't think we want to say that. I don't think we want to view their marriage in that way or just plant seeds, even in the heart and in the mind of this believer, that what they have, they should pity or regret. But then also part of honoring marriage is knowing that what marriage means is a picture of Christ in the church, as well as what it involves, which is unity in every sense of the word, as well as what it really needs to thrive, like the Holy Spirit and union with Christ and the Word of God and commitment to His kingdom, that God would command every Christian everywhere to only marry a Christian. And so that is clear commandment of Scripture, that God's people marry within the family, if you will. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 that we are to marry in the Lord. I think it's important to see so that certainly as we're ministering to unmarried believers, that we have to make this point that marriage and hope of salvation doesn't mean you marry someone missionally, where your goal is to marry them to help them be saved. When Scripture explicitly says, yeah, don't do that. Marry in the Lord. What it also means then is if a Christian does marry a non-Christian, it is an act of disobedience, whether that's an immaturity disobedience or a full knowing blatant rebellion. Which is why early on there has to be some sense of repentance, some sense of what I actually did was wrong. And one of the reasons that's important is so that there can be forgiveness, sort of restoration with the Lord, and then continue on in the marriage with that peace dealt with. So yeah, just the honor of marriage. I think no matter who's married to whom, we need to keep in our minds that marriage is real and valuable and honorable to God, so that as you sit there and you minister to a man or woman, a Christian who's married to a non-Christian, you avoid some of those ditches. Because there is the reality of unequally yoked marriage. Though in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17, where Paul's talking about don't be unequally yoked to unbelievers, I don't think he's specifically and firstly talking about marriages. I think he's firstly talking about false teachers and false teaching? Or what, in the context of 2